You are listening to the Level Up Your Gaming Podcast, episode 114, Setting Goals for Your Game. In today's episode, I talk about setting goals for your game. I discuss examples of good and bad goals. I also discuss how to improve your game with your goals. If you'd like to participate in the discussion or leave us feedback, you can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. If you like the content and want to hear more of the show, subscribe and ensure you don't miss an episode. New episodes come out almost every Wednesday. Also, please review, tell a friend about the podcast, or share with your gaming group. Now sit back and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Level of Gaming Podcast. My name is Aaron. This week, we're going to be talking about setting goals for your game. But before we do, some updates about the podcast. So, really excited that this week on Wednesday, I am going to be recording with Tom. I mentioned he was one of the guest GMs for the show in terms of rotating GMs. He will be with me. We'll record on Wednesday. I might just do an introduction to Tom as that first episode, and I might drop it in a little bit later, but I am really excited to get a recording in with him. You should get that pretty soon. In regards to recording news, I am going to be on vacation in early June, so it would be a two-week gap. I'm going to try to get it to be a one-week gap, which means I'll probably drop an episode early, the week of the first week. It's like 6-8. And then I will not be dropping an episode the week after that because I just won't be around a computer or anything. I will be in Alaska fishing. So looking forward to that trip. And, I'm looking, hopefully everybody's going to bear with me for that 1 week that we won't have a podcast for you here. So, that's all the updates that I have for the show and things that are coming up with the show. We'll get on to the main topic right away. So the topic for today is setting goals for your game. And I thought about this while we were playing a game with Jared, which is Jared was running a scene for us and we were formulating a plan, player to player, me and Brian. And we hit a moral conundrum in his game. And he specifically said, as we were kind of walking back and forth and talking about this, he goes, "Goal achieved. This is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to create a moral conundrum. Like, what do you do in this situation?" And we as players playing our characters correctly and playing more heroic characters definitely were able to achieve a moral conundrum that Jared was able to put forth for us, which is how do we handle these people? They're not necessarily bad people, so we can't just go in and start a firefight with them. But if we do encounter them in a hostile situation, what do we do? And that was the moral conundrum posed to us. Our solution is a little bit more gray for our characters, but we did come up with a reasonable way to kind of distract most of the people. So we haven't had to get into any sort of the moral gray area yet as it pertains to this, but this is also the part of the kind of the escalation in his stories that we've been sort of telling, which is that a lot of the things that we will end up doing now do have this kind of moral escalation with this moral conundrum of like, do we escalate to this point of kind of being morally unscrupulous and doing some things that you probably wouldn't do as a hero? And that's always very hard to do in the world because there's only so many things you can do within the bounds of the law and legality and all that stuff. So always a fun little conundrum that we're able to run into in the games itself. But that got me thinking about setting goals in games and how do you set goals to improve your games. And I think that you should be going into every new gaming situation, every new game that you're doing with goals in mind, and you're doing it to be able to incrementally improve your gaming style. Again, we talked about in the past incrementally improving your game and how you do that, which is sort of introducing little things here and there. And that's sort of what we've kind of talked about with the podcast, and I've mentioned it, Jared had mentioned it in the past about how do we, kind of push player? How do you inspire your players to do more stuff? And so those incremental improvements are effectively goals. You're trying to get your players to be more engaged socially. You're trying to get your players to be engaged more mentally. You're trying to get your players to be more active and engaged in combat. Maybe they try to avoid combat situations. You're trying to achieve certain little things that go on with this. So I'm a big proponent of setting goals in every game. Like, what did you do in the last game? Which is what you always want to look at. And then, you know, what are you doing in this game? So what are some bad goals? And the first bad goal, the one that it sounds counterintuitive, but when I tell you what the antithesis of this and is the good goal for it, it'll make sense. But the bad goal is I want to run a great game, okay? Or also known as I want to hit a home run. Jared and I had talked about the baseball analogies. We love the baseball analogies. We use them at our gaming table to describe how good we felt our game went. Home runs are great because your players invest in the game, not because you necessarily came into the game and like, this is going to be a home run game. Your players found things in the game that made it a home run game, that made it a flagship game, that made it a game that's so memorable that they remember it. Your players sort of dictate the level to which your game rises. Because if your players have no interest in what you're doing, and you might go into a game, you're like, oh, this is such a great idea, it's going to be awesome, you know, all that stuff. And you start running the game, and your players just don't give a crap about it. They don't give a rip. And all that planning, everything that you did, it falls short. And so the reason why I say don't go into a game saying I want to run a great game is because the likelihood that you're going to run it, that your expectations and reality are going to match up, are, you know, far less. You know, promise 70%, deliver 100%. Okay, and you know that's what you should be trying to accomplish. Have something solid. And when it turns into a great thing that just blows up and it's the best thing ever, then, you know, you've got something there. But to feel like you're going to come in with your grand epic, every game's going to be just the best game. It's going to be better than the last game. Okay. Cause think about your best game that you've ever run and then try and say, I'm going to top that in this next game. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to consistently run a game that's better than your last. Running a great game happens, but it starts with the more reasonable goal of saying, I want to run a successful game. Okay, a successful game means I'm going to start it. Players are going to have a good time, and I'm going to have a good ending at the end of it. And the story is going to be make sense, A to B. You know, everything's going to kind of work itself out there. That's a successful game. Any successful game can become a great game, okay? Every time I've seen someone go, I'm going to run a great game, I'd say probably like one out of four times it actually succeeds. And the other times it falls either way flat or the game never reaches its conclusion. So that's why I say it's a bad goal. Don't want to run a great game. Disagree? Contact me, levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Maybe you disagree with that. Maybe all your games are great. I don't know. Okay? But for me, just run a good game, and then, you know, your players will latch on to the things that they love. The other thing that is a bad goal is saying that I want to elevate my players or their play to unreasonable standards. I am not against saying I want to, you know, try and elicit emotions, elicit moral conundrums, and just like Jared had done there, which is, I want to create a moral conundrum for the players and have them fight that moral conundrum. However, to say that I want my players to play, you know, at the same level as the players on Critical Role Play, you know, I want them to be those players. If your players weren't that before, they're not going to be that the next session. And it's an unreasonable standard to expect your players to elevate their play to something that you don't expect. A good example of this would be when we were much younger, Jared ran a game for us which was loosely based off of Neon Genesis Evangelion. Okay, he had watched the anime with his brother. He loved the idea, so he created a mecha game that we ended up playing. We came in, and his expectation is that we were going to learn something and elevate our play to match up against his brother and his friends, who are all more experienced role players. Also, they got two completely different briefs. So, like, there was an expectation that we would just become much better players by doing this experiment here, or that we would be able to match up to them with this experiment that he had, which was effectively a massive battle royale PvP sort of thing, is what it sort of turned into. It was always just us versus them. We didn't know what was going on, but they had, like, detailed plans, and we just didn't realize, you know, at the time that we were fighting against that. So it was an unreasonable ask from Jared to have us elevate our standards that high, because none of us were at that level of gaming, and none of us were at that level of creativity. You ask us to do it today, and you give us a good brief, we probably could compete in that arena much better. But in that time and place, it was a totally, one, it was unbalanced in a lot of other ways, but it was unbalanced in the fact that we were ill-prepared to understand the kind of the tactical nature of needing to understand how to combat in that game. So again, I would just caution against expecting too much out of your players, which is not to say that you shouldn't expect something out of your players, but to expect something that's way outside of who they are. Like, if you got Pete, and Pete breaks things in game, you know, don't expect that Pete is not going to break things in your next game. Okay. Yeah. So that'd be my only caution against it. That's a bad goal. The other bad goal that I want to point out is trying to plan for every contingency and outcome in the game, and expecting that I've got this so well laid out that the players will not divert off course. You know, it's everybody's made this mistake. Everybody has made this mistake. If you sat in the GM chair, you have made this mistake going, I can predict, I can be ready for what the players are going to do. Okay. No, number one, nobody thinks like you. And number two, your players are going to come up with crazy things. They're going to make leaps based on things that you say in the game. They're going to come up with crazy plans based on things. They're going to metagame. They're going to do all sorts of things that are going to totally take your game and flip it on its head. And all those things that you had planned out, you'll never plan out every single thing. I mean, you could do this with anything that you do in life, where you look at try to think of every possible outcome that could come out of something. It just doesn't work. You know, you're never gonna be able to plan a game so perfectly that it'll execute just as you think it is. Will, when you are more proficient with your table and you know the players better, you will become better at predicting how they tackle problems, but again, players learn. So if players see that you are, you know, you feed the funnel information in a certain way, the players will start to tackle things in that way sometimes, which may throw you off because you may try to overcompensate to manage how they gather information. Okay. And the things that you think are important, they won't think are important. Okay, I had a rude awakening with this in a previous game where I had put together all this interconnected web. I thought they were going to interview and talk to everybody that was part of this organization, and they talked to two people out of, like, the 14 people I had, and none of the questions pertained to who the other people were, and it was just like, all right, this is a lot of wasted time trying to put this together. So, again, bad goal. You know, for you know, no outcome effectively. So what are good goals? And again, I talked about the first one, which is I want to run a successful game. all of your games should start with that premise, is I want to run a successful game. And like I said, it starts, it has a beginning, you know, good ending, and, you know, the players are able to walk from point A to point B. They're able to get to the ending, you know, reasonably. Whether that be that they, you know, they're on, this could even be like a side quest type of thing. You know, we had the improved side quest with the false god, and you know that didn't know the world. There was you traveled from city A to city B, and you know that was the length of the story, culminating in a big end there in city B. Or if you were going the extra complicated route, you could go the politicking that brought him back to city A to then talk to the count. You know, go back and listen to that episode, improving your side stories. Not the greatest sound recording quality because I didn't have the microphone set up correctly, but it is a very good podcast in terms of like riffing with Jared on how to create a good side story. But that would be a successful game regardless of how you ran the game. So again, just run a successful game, because any game that you start will be a great game. Another good example of a good goal would be trying to lengthen games. So let's say you only tell one shots, or that's all that you're proficient in telling as a, you know, novice GM, or you know, a temporary GM, somebody trying to give a break to your GM. If you're trying to really improve your gaming, you want to be able to create games that last longer, that have a little bit more interconnectivity, and are more they're more of a slow burn. They take a little bit longer to build. I'm not talking about putting together a chronicle that lasts for 4 years. Okay, if you bad incremental jump there, if you only sell like 1-2 night games, and then you're like, now I'm going to tell a story that lasts for 4 years, that's probably not a realistic goal. You're probably going to fall flat. Again, the good goals are the ones that you can achieve, okay? Which isn't to say that you want unachievable goals, because you want to create some things that might be harder to achieve, but you know, just as you would in anything in life, but you want to have goals that always can be achieved. These are the marks that make the game good. Successful game, players had fun, you know, like those are good qualities and good goals to set in your game. More nuanced goals would be something like, I want to scare my players. Okay, and we've talked about horror on this podcast several times before, and I love the horror genre. I love when you execute it correctly and you can get players to just immerse in the moment that you are in, and they are tense. There is tension all over the table. I love that. Again, doesn't always work. It is probably one of those goals that would be harder to achieve depending on your game, but it would be reasonable to achieve scaring your players. That's a good goal to have, especially if you don't ever tell scary stories. So now you want to try to tell a scary story. Same thing would be like, I want to tell a very politically intriguing game. Okay, go back to the bad goal. Is this taking the players way out of their comfort zone? If it is, then maybe you just need to add some politicking, you know, incrementally to be able to achieve this kind of goal. See if you can make that type of game work. But also see, like, that's a goal. You know, being able to say, like, I want to be able to add some very unique social situations and have my players engage. Okay, not unreasonable, because the game itself is still, you know, kind of your bread and butter, what you do best. But it is also the type of game that now you're adding in flair. These are things I want my players to work with. In Jared's case, the moral conundrum there, I want to pose my players with the moral conundrum, and I want to have them contemplate it. Not necessarily choose the right or wrong path, because there isn't a moral conundrum. You know, there is no correct option. It's like the trolley problem. I forgot how it is actually phrased. It's like a moral equivalency or something like that, or like a, but it is a moral conundrum there. So that's what you want to have, is you want to have your players go like this is hard, like I don't have a good option here. I have to choose one of these. What's the least bad option? And if you have your players sitting there not just being like, okay, so we can kill the Duke, or we can flood the city. Flood the city. Okay, your players just like straight up go like, that's just gonna be way easier. We could just flood the city. Okay, that they have not contemplated the morality of their actions. Okay, so you know that you missed the mark on that if that happened. But if your players go, yeah, that's a hard one, because if we flood the city, it does alleviate our problem. But if we kill the Duke, we are literally murdering someone. Like, there's that sort of thing that you have going on there. You want to be able to propose a tough situation, and you want your players to struggle with it. So again, that's a good goal. So how do you come up with these goals for the game? And I'm a big fan of looking back on what I did in my last game, retrospective of what I did on the last game. You can tell I'm a developer because I talk about retrospectives, total agile mentality here. But look back on what you did in the last game. See, how do I improve upon things what did I do well in the game? What could I do better in the game? And then what you need to know is that everything that you could do better on in the game could become a goal for how you improve in your next game. The other thing is that you could take something that you did well and you could elevate it in the next game, or you could say, I did this so well that I want to tweak it now and I want to try it and change it just a little bit for my next game. My last two games ago was a relatively short game for me, and it was like, probably like a 2-3 session. I had told a bunch of 2-3 session games, and they've been decent, they've been good. Jared and Brian liked the games. They enjoyed the interactions they had in them. They really, really liked the games. But one of the things I've been wanting to do is I just want to tell a game that was longer in terms of more of that slow burn, and more intrigue, let the players really kind of figure out the mystery. The other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to impose stress upon the players in that game. And I wanted to put this feeling of they're running out of time. Okay, one of the things that is always tough in a game is that if you're doing more of a long chronicle, you always sort of want to give your players a lot of time to work things out. Because if things are time-boxed around them, your players will stop engaging with the world and they'll engage the problem right away. So when you time box the problem, that's great because your players will engage with the problem. But if you let things kind of just stay static outside of where the scene is with the players, then your players will sort of engage and unravel all the mysteries that you have to offer or attempt to. It depends on their curiosity levels. But in this case, I was trying to go for a longer, more complex game. I had four major storylines in the game. I had three red herring storylines in the game, and I imposed a time limit on them, which, again, in hindsight, it worked out really well. But it could have been something that killed me in that game, because it could have forced the players to beeline through a lot of different stuff. Because what I know from my players, and again, this is KYP, is I know that they like to engage and understand the mysteries of everything around them. And I like that. Brian likes that. Jared tends to like that too. And they want to learn all the little, they want to unravel the whole sweater and kind of figure out how it was made. They really want to see behind the curtain and just look at it and go like what did we miss? Did we turn these things over? And so having four storylines and having this threat of the time limit when this person was going to die made it very stressful, which was good. I was able to achieve that, but it was also very rewarding because they really took every moment in that game very seriously and thoroughly. They went through things in ways that I didn't expect. So I got results out of it in a way I didn't expect. And the game lasted quite a while. Again, I achieved that, which was one of my goals, to make it just a more complex game. The game went on for, you know, I think I got 8 sessions out of it. It was a great, you know, achievement in my opinion. And the other thing that I was going for with the game was a lot of fantastical stuff. So I wanted my players to feel a lot of situations of dread and like intensity in a lot of my scenes there. I was able to achieve that through music and through a lot of well-crafted narrative and a lot of, like, again, pseudo-Inception style, you know, being able to kind of walk them into these weird situations. And they resonated with those goals very well. So, like, those were things that, like, were the goals I had set for that, and my players hit them right on the nose. And one of my perceived goals that never happened, but I was okay with it, was I had expected them to eventually hit the time travel mechanic and work their way back, and they never did. And instead, I was able to I was able to add that sort of to the ending there, and I was able to explain it to them in a better way at the end of it. But what I wanted to do was, again, a lot of the themes I wanted to hit, I was able to do by setting very reasonable goals in the game itself. And I never got any level of frustration. One of the things I feared in doing some of these things was I was going to get frustrated pushback from the players. But I felt like I must have given them enough to make everything feel rewarding enough that they didn't really push back against me. So that, again, now looking back at that game, I have new goals that I want to set. And so, you know, being able to look at that game and be able to set new goals, I, you know, want to be able to tell a game that's of similar length or similar complexity, I should say, going forward. So now that I've done it once, I want to be able to do it again. Running a game that's, again, it's much easier to succeed in running a game that is short. And the reason why it's much easier to succeed in running a game that is short is because they're very concise and quick and not a lot of room for, I didn't like that, I like this, you know, kind of stuff. But that slow burn is just a little bit more intriguing. There's also just more areas for mistakes in a slow burn or a long running situation. So I want to keep doing that. That's one of the things I look back on that game and kind of brought out of it. The other thing that I want to do out of that game is I want to be able to, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, is I want to be able to create a good time travel mechanic that has stakes involved in the time travel. Like, why would you go back in time to investigate this thing? You know, or why would you go forward in time to do something? And, you know, kind of be able to work that out as well. I was able to establish a villain in that game, so that was one of my goals. And in an episodic game, I kind of want to keep that theme together. So that's another thing that I look back on and I want to do going forward. But that's me looking back on the game and going, these are the things I want to do better. I want to be able to improve upon them. So my next game, my goals are going to be, you know, trying to make the story more cohesive, because I didn't feel like the story was as cohesive as I wanted it to be in that other game. And again, that's mostly a me thing, but I think that if I run a successful game with a more cohesive story, I will have a better shot of that be turning into a great game versus just another good game, just a base hit, as we usually call it. So, you know, or a successful play, anything else, you know, name your favorite sports analogy there. But that's how you end up doing it. You want to look back on what did you achieve in that last game and how do you improve in the next one? And that's, you know, the TLDR of this podcast is that's how you create good goals. And I gave you some examples of those goals and some better goals that you can follow. And you know, take them as you will and go ahead and execute them as best you can. But let me know. Let me know how you set goals. What are some of your goals for your next game? What, you know, do you ascribe setting goals? Do you go, what do you tend to plan for your game? That kind of stuff. Level up your gaming podcast at gmail.com or facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. The podcast is also on YouTube, so go ahead and smash that like button if you listen to it there. Otherwise, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, review it, you know, recommend it to a friend, your gaming group, all that other good stuff. Would love to get more listeners. That word of mouth is always a great thing. Again, look forward to bringing Tom on and introducing Tom to the podcast coming up soon. So, again, that's going to wrap me up for the week. So have a great week, everyone.